Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Tivoli Talk, Tivoli Service Desk Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Gabby Zederveld. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Before we start off, I just wanted to point out that we're having some trouble getting this e-meeting going as presenter rights were allocated incorrectly. So we are not going to do the e-meeting, and I would like to remind everyone that the slides to this presentation, there is a link included in the Tivoli Talk sales alert that went out, and also you can find this on Extreme Leverage under Tivoli Talks and then under MRO. So, you know, if folks would like to, please just take that presentation and we'll go from there. We will not do the e-meeting. Also, what I would like to remind everyone of is that we're doing a series of Tivoli Talks around the products that come from the MRO acquisition. And we last week did a product demo Tivoli Talk. Sean Tierney came online to do a live demo of the product. We had about 100 folks there, so certainly that's the type of information you were all looking for. It's been recorded, so if you've not yet seen a demo of our service desk and IT asset management capabilities, I highly recommend you look at that, because combined with this presentation, you'll find that the picture kind of comes together. Then also next week, on the 19th, we're doing a Tivoli talk on IT asset management, so the Maximo product, now rebranded to Tivoli Asset Management for IT, the solution for IT asset management that really does go hand-in-hand with the service desk solution as well, as both products are built on the Maximo platform and Maximo technology. So today we're going to be focusing on the service desk. I also wanted to introduce a couple of other folks who are online. We have Mike Odom from the Competitive Intelligence Group, who's done a lot of research on our Maximo product in context of competition. So he'll be joining us today to kind of strengthen the competitive message. And I believe Pandya Natharajan, the product manager for the service desk, will be joining us today as well. So if there's any detailed product technical questions, he can address those at the end. I believe we're doing a Q&A at the end, so I'll take about 40 minutes right now to go through this presentation. Again, I want to remind folks that we're not doing the e-meeting. We're looking at the PowerPoint slides. Again, those can be found or can be accessed through this Tivoli sales alert that went out announcing this Tivoli talk, as well as on Extreme Leverage. If you go to the Tivoli Talks page on Extreme Leverage and you look for MRO, you will find the slides to this presentation. So let's get started then. So slide number two, just to have a quick look at the agenda. We're basically going to talk about the service desk, a brief overview of what it is and why we think everyone needs one, and most importantly, how we can win and displace our competitors in this relatively mature market. Then we'll spend some time talking about how to prospect and drive your deals. So that's really the goal for today's Tivoli talk. I also actually want to remind you that on Extreme Leverage, we have a wealth of information on the service desk. We've got customer-facing presentations, collateral, as well as a great variety of sales tools, things such as quick reference cards and whatnot. So if you have not yet gone there, I do recommend you have a look, because you'll find a lot more detail on some of these points that we're addressing today there. So just to give you a quick background on the IBM Tivoli Service Desk. So this was added to the IBM Service Management portfolio through the MRO software acquisition that finalized in October last year. The product was formerly known as Maximo Service Desk. It was then renamed and rebranded to IBM Tivoli Service Desk. And I just want to point out to everyone that this name will change again because of the history associated with the Tivoli Service Desk name. We did encounter quite a bit of resistance to using that name for a new product. Also, we are coming out with a concept of a service request center, which brings together the service desk and service catalog capabilities. And that concept of the service request center requires us to go through some renaming and rebranding exercises as well. So right now, the Tivoli branding folks are reworking this, and we expect that within the next month, the IBM Tivoli Service Desk name will change. Not quite sure what it will be, but they're working on it. The current product version is version 6.2, and it has been blue-washed with the Tivoli Service Desk brand at this point. Max, MRO Software had the Maximo Service Desk product on the market for about 2.5 years when the acquisition took place. So it's a relatively new product. And through December of 2006, we acquired about 76 Service Desk customers. And these are customers that use the product for both an IT Service Desk as well as for an Enterprise Asset Management Service Desk, or, if you will, a Corporate Service Desk, for example, to manage facilities service requests. I just did an analysis on the Q1 numbers, and we're definitely seeing the IBM drag through Q1. We added about another 30 customers, another 30 Service Desk customers. So we have a total of about 109 Service Desk customers to date. Just to give you some background on the market, the Service Desk has evolved from the Help Desk, which in the 80s, early 90s, was basically a type of trouble ticket application. So, for example, you'd have a problem with your computer, a trouble ticket would be issued, and the issue would be resolved. Over time, that's evolved into a Service Desk, which is much more focused around delivering and managing your business services and aligning with IT service management. So it's no longer just resolving the incidents. It's now also, if you think of, the idle concepts, it's got problem management, change and release, and configuration management associated with it. So it's certainly evolved over time. And the Service Desk market as such, has been around for a while and is mature and pretty commoditized. When you think about the very basic help desks, that are just taking incidents and resolving and closing those incidents, you've got hundreds of small vendors that are offering all kinds of help desk solutions at pretty low price points. Then in the more broader reaching Service Desk market, it's a pretty mature market as well. Three of our competitors pretty much own about 2/3 of that market, and we're talking about HP Peregrine. Of course, Peregrine, being the company that was acquired by HP in 2006, BMC Remedy, BMC acquired Remedy, and CA Unicenter. So those are our three main competitors. According to Gartner, they own about 2/3 of the market. But in a recent report that came out in December, Gartner identified IBM as a key contender who will take over market leadership position from these three competitors. So certainly great things are expected from us and our Service Desk solutions going forward. It's projected to be about a $1 billion market, according to IDC, so certainly interesting revenue potentials there as well. So just to take a quick sanity check, I talked about it a little bit just now in terms of the evolution of the help desk to the Service Desk. But according to IDLE, a Service Desk really is a single point of contact for users to address their service requests. I'm not going to read out everything that you see here on slide 4, but the gist of it is that basically the Service Desk is a central point in the organization where end users can go with their service requests. And that can vary. It can be something like, my computer won't print, to the air conditioning is not working, or the coffee machine is broken down. So it does not necessarily have to be an IT-related service request. From our perspective and the way that we bring our Service Desk solution to market, sure, we sell mainly into an IT organizations and we'll see and expect to see the majority of our Service Desk sales in IT for IT service requests, but we've certainly, through MRO and its legacy in enterprise asset management, we've certainly sold a fair share of corporate service desks, especially around facilities management. So, folks will put in service requests, there's this leakage in the kitchen upstairs and now it's coming down into my cubicle, those type of service requests. When you think about it in terms of facilities management, the processes associated with that are very similar to how IT-related service requests are being managed. So in terms of the broader IDLE definition of what a Service Desk does, it really fits in well with how we're going to market with our Service Desk. On the one hand, an IT-focused Service Desk. On the other hand, a corporate Service Desk. Just to clarify this, we're not selling two separate products. We don't have an IT service desk product and a corporate service desk product. We just have one service desk product that addresses both needs, if you will. And through the ease of configuring our application and changing the UI and fields and whatnot, our customers can quite easily adjust their service desk to fit in with what they're using it for in their organization. But how that all comes into play, I'll address in a little while. So from our perspective, every business pretty much needs a service desk. Any somewhat sizable organization, so I'm not talking about a mom-and-pop shop with 20 employees, but any, you know, respectable organization with several hundreds of employees will need a service desk to manage their business-critical services and IT assets. Again, I'm not going to read out what you see here on slide 5, but there's all kinds of reasons why high-quality service support is critical. You know, things such as providing organizations with competitive advantage. Just think of, you know, your order admin system. At the end of Q4, you want to make sure that the order admin system is functioning optimally. And if a server goes down, you want to make sure that you're fixing that, you know, quickly according to your SLAs to meet that demand. You know, again, to that example of the order admin system coming down at the end of the fourth quarter, you don't really care about Joe Schmo who is complaining about not being able to print. The most important thing at that point in time that you want to fix is that order admin system. So having a service desk that can help you prioritize and organize these type of incidents that need to be fixed and manage that according to SLAs and business priority is key. So it also enables you to align IT with the business and manage your service level agreements. Now, according to some of the analysts, the quote on the right-hand side is interesting in that, you know, it's more than just incident management that's key to a successful service desk. It's being able to understand all the support service requirements and being able to tie into problem management, change management, self-service capabilities for the end users, inventory management. And these are all functional areas or capabilities that we do quite well in our service desk solution. So we'll touch on that in a little while. And then if you look at this Forrester quote, I found that pretty interesting as well because they did a survey of organizations using a help desk or a service desk. And, you know, overall they kind of like the service desk folks. You know, they feel that they're somewhat knowledgeable and address their issues. But in the, you know, looking at the bigger picture, they're not quite satisfied with the overall support. The time to resolve requests and being able to get status updates, these are all areas that need improvement. So about 41% of help desk users are really on the fence if they're overall satisfied with their solution. So this leads us to believe and underlines our point that service desk users are not quite happy with the solutions that they have today. So if you look at slide number 6, where we see our opportunity and where we're going to focus on also in our presentation today is not necessarily, you know, why customers need or why organizations need a service desk. You know, at this point in this mature market, everyone's kind of bought into the idea of a service desk adding value to the organization. So when we're selling, we don't necessarily have to sell customers on the value of why they should use a service desk. We need to sell them on the value of why our service desk addresses their business issues and their struggles better than what our competitors can do. And that's what we're focusing on today. If you look at the current service desk state, organizations are dissatisfied for a variety of reasons. And as we go on, we'll drill into these reasons a bit more. Upgrading service desk solutions from one version to the next is very expensive, it's resource intensive and time consuming, mainly because customizations that have been done to the product do not upgrade. They need to be redone. So effectively, when you upgrade a BNC Remedy or HP Peregrine service desk solution, it's a rip and replace. You have to redo all your customizations as if you were implementing from scratch. I'll talk about that a little bit more in the following slides. Organizations are struggling with configuring their service desk solutions. Just think of of BMC Remedy, right? The Remedy Action Request System, Remedy ARS. Any changes you want to make to the Remedy Service Desk solution requires you to do custom coding, development work. It's not easy. These kind of changes are not made on the fly. They cannot be made by end users. They have to be made by specialized development resources. So that's all kinds of difficulties that organizations are struggling with. Again, time-consuming and expensive to configure their service desks. And then, like any other IT organization, the service desk organization is under pressure to keep performing, to increase productivity, make sure that their customers, that their end users stay happy, but they have less budget to do so. You know, you have to deliver the same, if not more, than the previous year, but you have less budget. So that's a constant struggle. And this is really not just typical to service desk environments. I think these are problems that IT organizations are struggling with as a whole. But if you think about that, if you can deliver a service desk solution that can keep them productive, keep customer satisfaction high at a reasonable cost, you've got a pretty compelling value proposition to come in and talk to them about replacing the solution they have today. Another thing that they're struggling with is they don't have good visibility on how they're performing. So they don't really get accurate metrics and reports through their current service desk solution. There's no easy dashboards or KPIs, key performance indicators. They're not really seeing that well how they're measuring up to their service level agreements. So there's an overall struggle with really getting visibility on how they're doing, how they're performing. And then last but certainly not least, through acquisitions and mergers, but also through, you know, departmental point purchases, many larger organizations have multiple instances of a service desk. So there might be a service desk, you know, in the IT side of the house. There might be some kind of corporate service desk to manage facility-related things, and there might be at a departmental level some smaller service desk instances. You know, there's mergers and acquisitions that brought in other service desk solutions, and very often they're a hodgepodge of different solutions, maybe different vendors that are involved. So managing that and maintaining that ongoingly is a major pain in the neck. Just imagine having to upgrade all those different solutions or just managing them and dealing with your vendor relationships. So there's a huge drive to consolidate these systems. Then also in IT in general, you're seeing an application rationalization drive, which is basically an exercise in which IT looks at all the systems they have and evaluate how they can best reduce the number of applications and basically more efficiently use the applications that are in the organization. So all these cost containment initiatives in terms of consolidating the systems that you have in the organization make a really good case for our service desk solution, where we can manage an IT and a corporate service desk in one environment, basically through the same product. So again, when you talk to your customers and when you're going to sell a service desk solution, again, just to summarize, we do not need to talk about why someone needs a service desk. Everyone kind of sees the value of why you need a service desk. We want to stress why we, IBM Tivoli, can address their, you know, business pains and business problems around the service desk, why we can address those better than our competitors can. And these five areas, these five main areas of discontent are the ones that we need to build on when we're selling our service desk solution. So on slide number 7, again, I'll just pause here real quick for folks that might have joined later. We're not doing the e-meeting. We're having trouble. We had trouble getting that going. So we're looking at the PowerPoint slides that were sent out through the Tivoli Sales Alert. You can find them in that Sales Alert. You can also find them on Extreme Leverage on the Tivoli Talks page under MRO. So if you joined late, please dig up that PowerPoint presentation, and we're currently on slide number 7. So why are the companies you're targeting ripe for a Tivoli service desk? So the message is pretty simple here. It's easy to sell because everyone needs one. Every somewhat sizable organization needs a service desk. Those organizations are very likely to be unhappy with the solutions they have, and they are seriously considering alternatives. So why do you want to sell this? It's profitable. The deal sizes are respectable. When we do an analysis on the deals we've sold, we really do see the deal sizes all over the board. We see smaller deals in the 10K, 20K range, but we have a significant number of deals that are 100K plus, even several of which that are in the 400K, 600K range. So the deal sizes are respectable. The sales cycles are, you know, up to about 6 months, so, you know, they're manageable. They're not super lengthy. And basically, we've done it before. Through December 06, we sold about 76 deals. That, again, was mainly through MRO, which compared to IBM was a tiny organization, of course. And now in Q1 07, we just did an analysis on those numbers. We've added about 33 service desk customers just in Q1. So we're definitely seeing the IBM drag, and we're ramping up here. So we're seriously adding customers. Of course, the question that any sales rep has is how many referenceable customers do we have? And the answer is we certainly have a decent number of referenceable customers. Keep in mind that in total we only have 109, so we might not have as many referenceable customers as our competitors do, but we have very good references. We are also managing the process quite tightly. As we have a relatively small number of references, we use them a lot, and we definitely want to manage that process carefully so that we don't overburden those customers. We have a reference program, a customer reference program, and we're managing the reference process quite tightly. Audra Johnson is the person that we hired to head up our reference program, so she's a good person to contact if you have questions on customer references. Furthermore, we have a whole list of customers that you can name drop if you need to do so, and on Extreme Leverage, on the Tivoli Service Desk, you know, information pages, you'll see some information on service desk references and which list of customers you can name drop. So we certainly have that. Actually, on the topic of referenceability, I do want to point out to everyone that our competitors, especially HP Peregrine and BMC Remedy, they tout a very lengthy list of referenceable customers, but many of those are on older versions of the technology. They have very few referenceable customers that are on the latest and greatest version. So keep that in mind when you're struggling with setting up customer references and you're working in a competitive environment. So on to the next slide, slide number 8. So everyone knows service desk is a mature market. However, the market is not as entrenched as many people think. Sure, we have three key competitors, serious competitors who own a large chunk of market share, but their customers are facing problems. And if we know how to talk to those problems, if we know how to come in at the right time with the right message, we have a really good opportunity at displacing those competitors. And frankly, it's fun to do. We've done it before, and we will do it again many times. So let's focus a bit on how we can do that. So on this slide is basically a summary of, you know, some of the you know, go-to-market activities we're focusing on and some of the key areas where you can win. So on to slide number 9. One key area which we think right now is area, you know, the most important area where we can win is the whole issue of upgradability. And then Mike Odom, you know, please feel free to chime in here. You're very familiar with this topic. So what are the customer challenges around upgradability here? In some of our competitive solutions, such as, you know, the HP Peregrine and BMC Remedy solutions, any customizations that you do to the product do not upgrade. So as you know, for example, think about BMC Remedy and ARS. Any changes you make need to be custom coded. So their service desk environments are heavily, heavily customized, and that is done through you know, specialized R&D resources. It cannot be done through end users. It needs to be managed through a product release cycle. So it's very, very consuming to make changes. So these customers have heavily invested in customizing their service desk environments, and then suddenly the vendor drops an upgrade on them. If we think about HP Peregrine and BMC Remedy, These vendors are actually dropping support for various product versions that a large number of organizations are still using. So these customers are being forced to move. They either need to upgrade their Peregrine or Remedy solution, or they should consider going with something else.
Yeah. Gabby? Yeah. One of the things that I think everybody needs to be aware of is that in talking with our services guys, they've indicated that it takes at a minimum, if you're going to go in and buy a services engagement to help upgrade, you would start out just a very small installation would be, around $50,000. But if you moved up to, say, the area where you've got, 30 agents that are sitting on the desk, at that level it could be well over $1 million just to do an upgrade. And certainly that's, dependent on the amount of customizations that have been done. But as you've said, every service desk out there in the market today requires a customization in order to get it set up like the customer. And the unique value that we need to make sure we put on the table for the customers is that our solution, when you take the configurations that you put in it, they're persisted in our common data model so that when you upgrade, those configurations are brought along with the upgrade, reducing significantly the total cost of ownership. That's a great way to get to the table to have a discussion around the rest of the architecture, because fundamentally it's the architecture of the other systems that won't allow them to work that way. So we have that over the competition right now, and it'll remain that way for a while.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, Mike, and let's drill into that a little bit more. So in our service desk solution, in the IBM Tivoli service desk, the old Maximo product, we have built-in configuration tools, things such as the application designer, workflow designer, database configuration tool. So there's various configuration tools that they don't need to purchase separately. They come with the product, and they allow the customer to change things such as field labels, reports, workflows, their business processes. They can use these configuration tools to build key performance indicators, dashboards, so that folks can decide, based on their job role and their permissions on the system, what they get to see. And the good thing here is that these configuration tools are so easy to use with, like, drag-and-drop actions that anyone who, of course, is authorized to do so can make configuration changes. So end users can change the way that their application looks and feels. A customer who buys the service desk and they really don't want to use it for IT, but they want to use it for, let's say, facilities management purposes, they can go in and change field labels to align with what they call certain activities in the organization, and they can do that easily. It doesn't require expensive and highly trained development technical resources like you would need with BMC Remedy. If you want to make changes to Remedy Action Request System, you need a Remedy ARS developer to make those changes. Those changes need to go through a product release cycle. They need to be tested, and they need to be going from a test environment to a production environment. Very time-consuming and very resource-intensive. So keep in mind, with our solution and the configuration tools, it's really, really easy to make changes to the product. So that's one major benefit. Our products are easy to configure. Competitive products are not easy to configure. They need to be custom coded.
Yeah, one other point to make there is that just as a number or something you might want to throw out to your customers when you're having a discussion is that because of the platform that we're on with the web services platform, we have over 100 J2EE applications that are brought together to bring out functions like Service Desk, and that we can leverage these tools across all of those applications, and over the time we will be extending that platform with additional functions. So these tools will service all of those applications in a common way, and that's unique to what we're doing.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point, Mike. And just to elaborate a little bit on that is when you think of the Maximo environment, right? So now, of course, it's Tivoli branded, but these products come from the Maximo technology. It was basically one platform, one product environment that consisted of 100-plus J2EE applications. So, for example, you have an application for incidents and problem management, and you have an application for meters, which is something that you use on the enterprise asset management side. So Maximo consisted of hundreds of applications, and based on what you bought, based on the product that you bought, you got a bundle of applications. So if you bought the service desk, you got, you know, applications A through Z, whatever. But if you bought IT asset management, you only got applications A through W or something like that. So based on what you bought, you got a set of applications made available to you that make up that product. And these configuration tools, as Mike just explained, work across all these applications. And that concept is really core to the service desk and IT asset management environment. And going forward, as we build out our process managers and whatnot, these will, newly created environments or newly created solutions will be built on top of that concept, if you will. So we're only going to extend that. And it's a key differentiator, right? So what I just earlier pointed out, one key advantage is the ease of making configurations. And then the second advantage, and this is what we're looking at here on slide number 9, is that because these configurations are made with these built-in configuration tools, the configuration information, the change information, is stored in metadata. So when you upgrade from one version to the next, these changes upgrade along, and they do not need to be redone. And that's a key point. That's a huge, huge differentiator, because we were just explaining to you all how our competitive solutions are a nightmare to upgrade, because all your changes and your customizations have to be redone. In the Tivoli service desk, changes that are done through these configuration tools upgrade and do not have to be redone. So it's a huge cost saving for organizations, and just think in terms of ROI, it's tremendous. Mike was explaining earlier that a somewhat sizable service desk environment, upgrading that can easily go north of $1 million, because everything needs to be redone. Those costs do not need to incur when you upgrade the Tivoli service desk and you upgrade the changes that are done through the configuration tools.
Yeah, one other thing, Gabby, in conversations I've had with customers, one of the things that, I've mentioned that to them and sort of drilled down on a bit, and I tell you, they get it. It's not like something when you go in and have a discussion with a customer that they're going to look at you like they don't understand what you're talking about. Just talk, if you just talk about upgrading and how that works, they look at you and go, absolutely, I do understand. It's a very painful thing.
Yeah, and the thing that's mostly painful here is, okay, if you do it once, fine, but the next time they need to upgrade, they go through exactly the same thing.
Yep.
So that's a huge, huge value proposition there. And some of the slides at the end, when you spot opportunities, I'll give you some examples of what to look out for. So let's speed it up a little bit, because we're going to be running out of time otherwise. I think it was good to dwell on this, as this is one of the key competitive differentiators. But let's look at some of the other areas for opportunity. So also, we touched on a lot of this already, but slide number 10. Customers of competitive solutions are downright unhappy with their current service desk implementation. We just explained they're facing huge upgrades. It's expensive, time-consuming. Changes in, for example, Remedy ARS require all that custom coding. You need specialized developers. What do you do if one of those highly coveted resources, your ARS developer, leaves? You have a serious problem there. You need these folks on site. They're expensive. End users cannot make changes on the fly. So this all adds up to this general dissatisfaction that they have around their service desk solution. Specific to HP Peregrine, customers are terribly confused about their roadmap. So HP had a service desk product. They buy Peregrine, they have a service desk product. So now suddenly they have two products. What are they going to do with it? How are these products coming together? Now HP Peregrine announced that they're coming out with Service Manager 7, I believe, which is going to replace both of these HP Service Desk and Peregrine Service Desk products. The roadmap is very messy, and I've spoken to a few of our customers that actually moved away from HP Peregrine, and the reason they did so was because they were really, really concerned about this roadmap and the support that they would be getting going forward. Another interesting point is idle. Especially in the United States now, we're seeing idle being taken on a lot more, whereas in Europe we've seen it out there for a while now. But Many organizations are building their IT service management practices according to the IDLE guidance and the IDLE framework. Our product, this is the benefit of coming to market fairly late compared to competition, when we designed our service desk product, we actually built it from the ground up on the IDLE framework. We looked at IDLE and we designed our service desk product according to IDLE. Now, if you think about, you know, Remedy ARS, which was designed, you know, I don't even know exactly when, over a decade ago, or the HP Peregrine product, they were designed before IDLE was ever even, you know, conceived. So all these products are retrofitted to align with the IDLE framework, which is clunky and doesn't work that smoothly. And our product is really aligned and designed to IDLE. An interesting fact we want to point out here is that in 2006, Tivoli did a buying preferences study, so they pinged several hundreds of Tivoli customers, but also non-Tivoli customers. And they also asked them if they would consider a Tivoli service desk offering. 40% of the IT organizations that were surveyed said that they would consider using a Tivoli service desk solution. And keep in mind that this survey was done before the IBM service desk acquisition was announced. So this was at a point in time that Tivoli didn't even have a service desk, and folks would still consider a Tivoli service desk. So fact is, we have real opportunity here. Slide number 11. I pointed out at the beginning that many organizations have multiple instances of a service desk in the organization because of acquisitions or departmental purchases. It's expensive, it's difficult to maintain, so folks are looking to consolidate to better control costs and, you know, and to increase operational efficiencies. You see it on the slide here, slide number 11. Our service desk solution addresses both the IT as well as the corporate service desk market. So there's a huge advantage we can tout here, which is, you know, Mr. CIO, you're looking to consolidate your systems and better control your IT costs and make your whole IT organization more efficient. You right now have multiple instances of a service desk. If you go with the Tivoli service desk solution, you'll be able to address, you know, all your service desk needs in one solution. Also, something to point out here is that the service desk is part of the Maximo platform that also manages IT asset management and enterprise asset management. So there's even greater system consolidation efficiencies to be had here if folks want to consolidate asset and service management on one platform. As many of you will know, IT asset management and service desk operations go hand in hand. If you know what IT assets you have, who is using those IT assets and how they are configured, and that data is made available to the service desk, that will greatly speed up incident resolution. If you get a service request submitted that says that email doesn't seem to be working, and you can really drill down into your IT assets to figure out, you know, how the email server is configured, and if, for example, the service desk can see that most recently a patch was applied to the email server that is now causing problems, if you know, that will greatly speed up incident and problem resolution. So bringing together IT asset management and service desk and being able to consolidate both on the Maximo platform and technology is a huge, huge advantage. So keep in mind that when you talk about the service desk, have that conversation about IT asset management as well. We, on slide number 12, this is maybe of not as much interest to the EAM, to the Tivoli sellers who are not selling EAM, but of course we have a great opportunity to upsell the existing MRO enterprise asset management customers. MRO had been selling enterprise asset management for a good 3 decades with a customer base of about 10,000 organizations. We sold about 109 service desk deals year to date, so a significant number of these customers are not yet bought onto the Tivoli service desk. So this offers huge, huge upsell opportunities. And together with sales management, we're identifying those EAM customers right now. Of course, we're cross-referencing them with the Tivoli customer list, and we're doing all kinds of sales plays to target that customer base. Slide number 13. We talked about that briefly as well, that we're offering an end-to-end IT service management solution that is aligned with the IDLE framework. It's more than just the service desk product. We have a huge suite of Tivoli products that help customers manage their IT services. Think about the CCMDB, the release process manager, availability process managers. There's many more in the planning. These will all be integrated into the Tivoli Service Desk, and for those new process managers that are coming out, they're actually being designed on that Maximo technology, on that technology so that we can take advantage of, you know, the modern state-of-the-art J2E services-oriented architecture, and we're able to take advantage of the built-in configuration tools. So this is also a huge differentiating point for us. And then lastly, I wanted to give you a little bit insight into where we're going in the future. Today, we do not have a service catalog product. So there is no service catalog product available today. However, we're working on the service request center, which will bring together the service desk and the service catalog capabilities. And it's going to be something that's bigger than just the sum of the two. It is something that we're designing to leapfrog competition, and we're currently have kind of a working name for this of Service Request Center. So if you have a customer that wants to know where we're going beyond just the service desk and the service catalog, if you're trying to sell the service catalog today, feel free to contact me or contact Pete Marshall. We're both working on the Service Request Center concept, and we can work with you on how to pitch that to our competitors. Before this Service Request Center comes to market, we're probably looking at early Q1 next year, so it's a little ways out, but we have a pretty strong message today, so we want to make sure that we get that out to the market. Stay tuned for more, because this is something with which we will be able to leapfrog competition even more. So slide number 15, our target markets, of course, the IT service desk and the corporate service desk. You can sell it at more of a departmental level to the service desk manager, but we have very strong messages to go into the CIO or a vice president of IT. And when we're selling to EAM, it's the same story. We can sell to at a departmental level to an EAM manager, but we can also sell to the CIO. Just a quick look at our customers. If you're looking at the CIO or the VP of IT, you know, what are some of the concerns that they're that keep them up at night? They're under pressure to cut costs but still need to deliver high-quality services. If they don't do that, they are threatened to be outsourced. It's the reality of IT today, and this is a huge driver. So if you can show the CIO or VP of IT how they can deliver high-quality services, how they can perform, how they can maintain customer satisfaction, but do that with reduced costs, it's a very compelling value proposition, and our solution can certainly do that better than competitive solutions can. Just think about the whole customization / configuration discussion we just had and the whole issue of upgradability. Also, they're under pressure to do more than just incident and problem management. It's not about just the service desk anymore. It's about IT service management and aligning that along the IDLE framework. It's also about change and release management, about configuration management. So a service desk needs to tie into all of that, and the Tivoli portfolio offers all of that and goes above and beyond that. So that's a huge area where we can address these needs. System consolidation, we talked about that earlier. That's a major concern as well. And, of course, the fact that making customized changes and upgrading is so expensive and time-consuming. Last point, we touched on that at the beginning, being able to get accurate performance metrics and getting better visibility into how the service desk is really performing. Now, if you look at a service desk manager, they share many of the same concerns with the CIO, but in addition to that, they're struggling with the fact that technology has become increasingly more complex, and resolving problems is just more time-consuming and requires more specialized skills. So being able to manage all of that, focus more on work management, and being able to assign certain problems to the right people with the right skills and managing that whole process to maintain quality in services is a big concern. And, of course, they want to increase productivity but want to make sure that they don't kind of keep reinventing the wheel. So if you can give your end users better capabilities to resolve issues themselves through self-service capability and knowledge portals, it's going to increase customer satisfaction. It's going to help you avoid having to rework things over and over again, and it can reduce cost. And then on slide 18, the EAM manager, They're currently probably using Maximo for enterprise asset management, and they can kind of manage service requests and work orders, but they can't really get in-depth business analytics on performance, and they're unable to do problem management. So if in an EAM environment they want to do that, the service desk solution can really help them. What's that? I just heard someone speak, but let me just continue. I think we'll certainly take questions here at the end. So another 5 minutes and we'll wrap this up. Slide number 19. So when you're going to sell the service desk, who should you talk to? Want to talk to the CIO or vice president of IT, the service desk manager, or if you're selling into an EAM environment, the EAM manager. So how can you spot opportunities? The questions you want to ask. So we advise all of you to start selling within your existing Tivoli customer base. Many of your existing customers today are using, very likely are using an HP Peregrine or BMC Remedy solution, maybe CA, but you'll mostly see HP Peregrine and BMC Remedy. So there are great opportunities to sell into that customer base. At this point, I should also point out that we have a competitive displacement sales play that we rolled out a few weeks ago. If you go to Extreme Leverage and you go to the sales play area, you'll see a great level of detail and sales tools associated with that sales play. But, you know, as part of that sales play, we're advising all the Tivoli sellers and Maximo sellers to go back to their existing customer base and basically explore and dig for service desk opportunities. Ask your customers what service desk product they're using and what version they're on. That is really relevant because you want to know if they're going to be forced with an upgrade. Most likely they are. Or even worse, the vendor is dropping support for the version that they're on. Ask them what they're doing for IT asset management. Many organizations still do this manually without any system to speak of. Some of them are using competitive solutions. Their service desk and IT asset management isn't well integrated. It's clunky. The two environments don't really talk to each other. So find out what they're doing for IT asset management as well. Ask them if they need to upgrade their service desk solution. Ask them if they've upgraded before. If they have, you will be assured that there's a whole host of problems they went through and that they're really wary about upgrading it again. Ask them if they have multiple instances of a service desk and if the CIO is looking to consolidate systems for cost savings and higher efficiencies. What are they doing for idle? Are they considering idle? Are they implementing idle? And their current service desk, how well does that really align with idle? And then around configuration, if they want to make changes to the service desk, all this custom coding, what does it really cost? How much time does it take? Wouldn't it be nice if it was really easy to configure your service desk solution? Then make sure that those configurations upgrade. And then some of the keywords you want to really look out for is things like upgrade, application consolidation or system rationalization, multiple instances of a service desk. So if folks talk about a corporate service desk for, let's say, facilities, you want to listen out for configuration and customization, idle, and, of course, the service catalog. So these are all keywords you want to look out for. I'm not going to have the time to drill into these next slides. I'm looking at slide 21. Basically, these slides outline how you can talk to an HP Peregrine customer, the things you want to throw out at them to provoke interest and how you can persuade them. So these are really, really interesting slides. When you dig, when you explore in your existing customer base and you find that they have a competitive solution, have a look at these slides and know how to talk to those customers. Slide 22 talks about BMC Remedies. Slide 23 about CA Unicenter. We have a slide on objection handling. Some of these are things that we often hear from customers, and we've got some really good answers to that. So slide 24, certainly have a look at that for objection handling. Slide 25 and 26 talks about the key features and the benefits they provide. We don't have time to really drill into this product-level detail today, but again, I want to remind you that we did a Tivoli talk last week in which we did a live demo of the service desk and IT asset management products. Many of these features were demoed in that presentation. And if you look at these slides, they'll give you a good reference point for what some of those key capabilities are and the benefits they provide to the customer. So I think this will provide you with some good reference. Slide number 27 is a summary of the competitive differentiators. I think of all the slides, this is probably the key one. There's 5 points to keep in mind. Because the service desk is part of the Maximo platform and technology, there's one integrated solution for all your asset management and service management needs. One solution, whereas competitors have cobbled together products that don't really work together well. Easy to configure. These configurations upgrade. The product is based on leading standards-based technology, so it's web-architected, built on J2EE, based on SOA Web Services and XML, so state-of-the-art technology, and built from the ground up on the IDLE framework. So again, slide number 27 highlights the key competitive differentiators, and I think in my mind this is probably one of the better slides that kind of sums up why our product is better than that of competitive solutions. Slides number 28, 29, and 30 talk about some client examples of where we sold our service desk solution. So again, these were pretty sizable deals. Many sales reps have asked me who these customers are. Unfortunately, I cannot give you their names because these customers do not want to be associated with competitive displacements, so they're really, really sensitive about that, so they do not want to be associated with that. However, we have many customers that are referenceable. We talked about that at the beginning. If you have any questions, feel free to ping me or Audra Johnson regarding customer referenceability. Also in Extreme Leverage, you'll find some list of customers that you can name drop if you're looking for service desk references. So here are some customer profiles. Also on Extreme Leverage, we actually have a case study collateral for several customers. We have that for United Space Alliance, BAE Systems, Burlesoft, and McCarran International Airport. So those are quite good pieces of collateral to talk about how the customers are using our product. Slide number 31 can also be used in your sales presentations if you like to. It's a summary of the messaging and positioning. And then slide number 32 just basically sums up where you can go for more information. We've got loads of content on Extreme Leverage, and feel free to ping myself in market management or Pandian in product management if you have any product-specific questions. And I believe with that, I'd like to wrap up. We would like to ask you to have a look at the content on Extreme Leverage, and we would like you to basically pick up the phone and start calling into your customer base. We have the sales play that's rolled out. It's all available on Extreme Leverage, and that should give you guidance on how to start talking to your customers about this service desk solution. So I'm sorry, I ran a little bit over, but let's open up the lines real quick for Q&A.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1. And if you're using a speakerphone, please be sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 to pose a question at this time. And at this time, no one has signaled.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We're wrapping up on time then. If anyone does have any questions, feel free to contact me at any time. And again, I urge you to have a look at Extreme Leverage, where there's loads of sales tools that support all the things we talked about today. Thank you very much. And Mike, thank you for joining.
Oh, you're welcome, Gabby.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.